Hi, I'm Paul Johnson. Thanks for listening to the podcast from Life Support.
You know, I always compared myself to my two older sisters because it always seemed like they had everything put together. And I, you know, and then, you know, even with my younger brother, I always, you know, it's just, I always looked at them and they just looked so put together, so like they've got it. And I just felt odd man out.
That's the voice of Patty Otto, someone who grew up in a church family and a church environment, but soon found herself living the life of an addict. Hers is a story of hitting bottom and finding her way out with God's help. Welcome to Life Support.
Everything you do from then on is different.
One of the detectives, I think his name was
Derek. He was like golden boy.
All we can do right now is come
Extreme
together.
Extreme domestic violence. Multiple rapes.
Hey, welcome to Life Support. I'm so glad you're here. What we do on this show is we want you to see Jesus in a new way. We talk about stories. We talk about trauma. We talk about restoration. We talk about redemption. And that's really the business that God is in. And we want you to be encouraged today that God has his hand on you. And my special guest is Patty Otto. She's from allinministries.org. She is the director of the women's part of that ministry, along with her husband, who's with her in this. And so thank you very much for being here. Really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
So you, last time we had you, you kind of went through your whole story, and you grew up in the church, struggled with addiction. God did some amazing things. You got married. Now you're doing this ministry. But I do want to circle back a little bit to your time as a quote-unquote church kid, Christian home kid. I think sometimes we assume that the kids we see in church, because they're in church with their parents, are all okay. Kids are pretty good at hiding things, aren't they? I mean, you need to be careful not just to do a lot of assuming, right?
Yeah. In growing up in the church, it was, you know, I was homeschooled for part of my life, and then I went to a secular elementary school. But it, all of our friends were, you know, cousins or friends from the church, which was great. But I had a hard time finding who I was. I know who I was supposed to be, but I didn't know, you know, who I was. I didn't know what I was meant for.
Where did you get the idea of what you were supposed to be?
Oh, goodness. I feel like I was supposed to model, you know, the quote-unquote, the good people of church,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I felt different. I felt different. I didn't feel like I matched them.
Yes, you couldn't reach the pinnacle of what you saw on Sunday,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are very good at wearing masks on Sunday.
Oh, yes.
All of us do that very well.
Yep.
And so it's easy to assume. I mean, I do it. I sit there and you know, kind of look around during worship, and I see these families that are they're amazing families. And
put together.
And I'm really glad for them. But I go like, yeah, our family isn't like that family. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what happens when they walk out of church.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And it's very easy to try to think that we have to be a certain kind of person. It's interesting that you say you just kind of felt like you weren't, kind of didn't belong or weren't quite like them.
Yeah.
Because obviously your parents cared about you.
Yes.
And God was in your life at that point, active in your life.
Yep.
So do you think that that was just a seed that Satan planted in your mind, or was there an event that happened, or the way friends treated you, or
I think it was a seed that, you know, that Satan planted in my mind, and then I just entertained it and I watered it, and you know, and then I started seeking elsewhere of things that made me feel of value. You know, I always compared myself to my two older sisters because it always seemed like they had everything put together, and I, you know, and then, you know, even with my younger brother, I always, you know, it's just, I always looked at them, and they just looked so put together. So, like, they've got it. And I just felt odd man out.
Hmm. That had to be a lot of pressure for you to feel that way and then have to still kind of play along.
Yes. And I had a hard time identifying my feelings and identifying my emotions, you know, and then so I would journal, and I was just, you know, would journal and just some things. And then it came to the point where I journal, I'm like, and I started entertaining the thought, well, maybe it would be good if I just wasn't here. What would life be like for my family if I just wasn't here?
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom had seen that because I had left it open. I left it open on purpose. I don't know. I don't remember leaving it open, but that was a long time ago. But she had seen it. And so she had then talked to a Christian therapist, and they're like, well, maybe you should get her in. So that was my first psych ward experience was, you know, my parents thought I was suicidal.
Wow. So here's the thing about church that I've observed, and obviously, we all love the local church. It's God's tool to reach the world. Your husband's a pastor. But there is this sort of this idea of if this is kind of how you're supposed to be.
Yes.
And the problem with that is God doesn't use normal people to do extraordinary things. In other words, if we don't get out of this box of this is what a church person should be or look like or act like. Now, obviously, I'm talking about Christ-like behaviors. We're all after that. But then we're going to shut down these unusual, kind of abnormal, wonderful thinking people that God uses to get out of the box.
Yes. Yes. And that's why I think, you know, God is just using, you know, Dennis and I, because Dennis's story, you know, is just a great one, too. Just what he has all gone through, you know, and ran with a biker gang. He was a meth cook, you know, just those kind of things. He's not your average pastor. He's a lot of rough around the edges, but he, you know, but he's a pastor and he loves the Lord now. And just the transformation that he has made. And just, you know, the transformation I have made in my own life and the things that I have gone through. I think we can reach people who normally wouldn't, you know, go to church. You know, we are a different, we have a different look to us. We're not the normal, you know, we dress in Harley stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just, it's right. So we're not your average church going.
But you're reaching people. You're doing your part for the body of Christ.
Yes.
You're reaching people that you can reach.
Yeah.
And then there's somebody else that's in a business suit somewhere reaching people that you can't reach.
Exactly.
Which is what the body of Christ is all about.
Yes. Yes. We serve the big capital C church, you know. It's just, and we're just trying to do our part the best we can.
I think the trick is accepting each other as a part of the body of Christ because we're all so different.
Yes.
And it's easy, you know, as sinful human beings, we sometimes establish pecking orders, and
yep.
We think our way is the only way, and we all have our preferences and everything. But if we could just get to the point where we could look around and go like, well, I'm glad that person is doing that, and I can do this, and that church is doing that. That's fantastic, and
yep.
Our church can do this.
Yep.
But instead, what we do a lot of times is we just get critical and say, well, they're not like me, so
yeah.
You know, they must yeah. not be doing as good a job or whatever. But God is, you know, you're a story of redemption is what you are, and your husband.
Yep.
And so now God has flipped that to, okay, now I'm going to give you a ministry that is going to remind you, number one, that I'm with you. Number two, remind you how close you are to doing this all again if you're not careful, because
yes.
you're dealing with people that are doing it.
Yep.
But most of all, your story of redemption is going to change a lot of lives and probably already has, right?
Yeah. Yep. Yep, you know, and Dennis is going into, you know, he's running different groups in Good Hugh County Jail and different other, the drug court programs. And it's, you know, he's spoken at the women's prisons in all of the, you know, the prisons in Minnesota. And it's just, it's the story of hope, you know,
yeah.
like, you know,
yep.
this is the way I was. I was just like you.
Yep.
And now, you know, I've come out on, you know, the positive side. You know, me, myself, I was in a bunch of raids. By the grace of God, I was never arrested.
Mm-hmm.
But I still can relate to the whole scenario of the mindset, the thinking. And It's just, you know, people have one choice to make it. It is life or death. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and you have automatic credibility with them, which is something that you can't really devise on your own. You just either have it or you don't, and a lot of times it's your past that gives you that credibility. When my wife and I speak, you know, we deal with the murder of our son and our journey with the perpetrator and victims restoration and so forth. So we have opportunities to speak to people who are in jail and thinking, how are we ever going to make restitution to the family, or how are we going to say we're sorry or whatever? And the moment we say, this is our story, you have their attention. Mm-hmm. And they're going, oh, well, you know, these people aren't in prison, but wow, they understand how this all works.
Yeah.
Or if I'm doing a memorial service, and sometimes I'll call the family and you just say, hey, listen, you know, I know you're having a hard time. You know, this has happened to me, this has happened to me, and I've been where you are right now. And they kind of look at you like, oh, well, you're not just some hired pastor that's here to try to make us feel better. Like, and then you have an opening.
Yep.
And that's what God's given you. It's a high price to pay.
Yes.
But what a wonderful opportunity you have now to turn around and bless others.
Yes. Yep. And a lot of people have a hard time forgiving themselves.
Sure.
I had a hard time forgiving myself for what I had done when I was pregnant. But there came a time, you know, there's nowhere in the Bible where God says you have to forgive yourself. That's not your job to forgive yourself. That's His job, and He's already done it. Mm-hmm. You know, so what you just have to find ways to live with yourself, with what, you know, with what you've done. And yeah, what you did, you know, is horrible or whatever, but that's also in the past.
Yeah.
What you do from here on out is what counts.
Yeah, that's wise, because I think the hardest person to really come to grips with is yourself.
Yeah.
You know, like you can look at others and have empathy for them and say, like, well, they didn't know any better or whatever, but you have to live with yourself all the time.
Yep.
And you have to keep getting reminded of all these things. But the cross of Christ covers everything.
Yes. Yep.
But, you know, you've talked a lot about how you believe Satan influences us and so forth, and Satan wants us to forget about the power of the cross,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the cross, Jesus did an atoning work for every sin.
Yes.
For every sin.
Every sin.
There's not a hierarchy.
You know, God doesn't categorize sin
right.
like us humans categorize sin. You know, because we categorize this sin is worse than this sin is, you know, that's human. That's human nature. That's human thinking. To God, sin is sin. You know, which sometimes it's hard to not categorize in your own mind.
Sure it is. Yeah.
But, you know, when it comes down to it, sin is sin.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny. When you're talking to a church, you're going through a passage in the Bible, and sometimes, you know, the Apostle Paul will line up these different sins and kind of, you know, just kind of reel them off. And you can look at it, and you can say things like, well, sexual immorality, and everybody go, oh, yeah, we don't want to do that. And idolatry, yeah, well, we all know that that's wrong. And then you go, gossip. It's like silence,
mm-hmm.
because all of a sudden now you're everybody does that, mm-hmm. right? And there certainly is a level of destruction to some sins that are you know, deeper than others. But you know, the great thing that we all have, and we've all made serious mistakes in our lives,
and continue to do so.
Yeah, that's a great point. Yeah,
you know, I don't want to admit it, but you know, I sin. You know, probably. You know, I'm stuttering now, but on a daily basis.
Of course. Sure.
You know, so it's just, you know, we just got to, you know, bring it to the cross. And that's every night I'm like, Lord, I know in some way I have sinned today. Please forgive me.
Yeah.
You know, it's that constant going back to Him and talking with Him. And
yeah. And that forgiveness is always there. That's because He's so merciful. So who are the people that you help in your ministry? What types of people come that you work with?
Right, all walks of life. I've got a few women who I walk with who have problems with addiction. And then I've got a couple women who just want somebody to walk alongside them because they just, you know, they're just have life issues. You know, they're not addicted to anything. It's just they just want an accountability partner, or just, you know, can I bounce these ideas off of you? What do you think? Because in my own mind, you know, it's not good. So it's just somebody to talk things through with.
Yeah. Yeah. What about your husband? Is it kind of the same?
The same. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. You know, and I don't have the answers. I didn't go to school to get, you know, to have all of the right answers. It's just, this is what the Bible talks about. This is, you know, it. I try to always refer back to, this is what's in the Bible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bible doesn't ask us to get a degree to be a part of the Christian community.
Yep.
And we all need to help each other.
Yep.
So when you look at your life now, you still got a long time left to go, and you've been through a lot. What are your hopes and dreams for the future?
Oh, my hopes and dreams for the future. To keep on doing what God wants us to do, you know, for God to continually reveal what He wants us to do.
It's more of a mindset and a commitment to the Lord than it is any specific outcome that you're hoping for.
Yes. Yep.
You just want to be faithful to what God wants you to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Pastor Paul will be back with Patty in just a moment. Stories like Patty's are a part of a site called lifesupportresources.org. One-to-one care videos and small group story-based curriculums about many topics surrounding trauma, grief, and loss. The site, again, is lifesupportresources.org. And now back to Pastor Paul.
And that forgiveness is always there. That's because He's so merciful. So who are the people that you help in your ministry? What types of people come that you work with?
All walks of life. I've got a few women who I walk with who have problems with addiction. And then I've got a couple women who just want somebody to walk alongside them because they just, they just have life issues. You know, they're not addicted to anything. It's just they just want an accountability partner, or just, you know, can I bounce these ideas off of you? What do you think? Because in my own mind, you know, it's not good. So it's just somebody to talk things through with.
Yeah. Yeah. What about your husband? Is it kind of the same?
The same. Yep. Yeah. Yep. Yep. You know, and I don't have the answers. I didn't go to school to get, you know, to have all of the right answers. It's just, this is what the Bible talks about. This is, you know, it. I try to always refer back to, this is what's in the Bible.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the Bible doesn't ask us to get a degree to be a part of the Christian community.
Yep.
And we all need to help each other.
Yep.
So when you look at your life now, you still got a long time left to go, and you've been through a lot. What are your hopes and dreams for the future?
Oh, my hopes and dreams for the future. To keep on doing what God wants us to do, you know, for God to continually reveal what He wants us to do.
So it's more of a mindset and a commitment to the Lord than it is any specific outcome that you're hoping for.
Yes. Yep.
You just want to be faithful to what God wants you to do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's really important for us to understand, because I think sometimes we look ahead and we think, well, I hope this comes to be, and if that comes to be, then I'll be okay, or if that happens, I'll be okay, or I'll be successful.
Yeah.
When really, you know, being a child of God is just walking with Him every day. It's like you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring.
Yeah.
And all you have is right now.
So. Yes. Yeah. And to raise, you know, we have two boys, Caden and Noah, 15 and 12. And they love sports. They love gaming. They love, you know, being on their phones. They love being outside.
Are you talking about my teenage boys?
Oh, man.
It's the same story.
And they are eating me out of house and home. But I just need to continually think and remind myself that I need to raise them up and in the ways of the Lord, and try and be there for them.
Yeah.
Do the hard questions.
Yep. In the way your parents were for you.
Yes. Yes. You know, and also just it's a different world now than when I was being raised. And so some of the hard questions that I would probably ask them are not the same questions that my parents had asked me, you know. But I just want to give them the best life that they could have, you know, knowing who their rock is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you bring a lot of wisdom to the equation. And the good thing you have going for you is you're going to have instincts about what's going on around them that a lot of people don't because
yes.
of what you've been through. So you're going to be able to sniff stuff out and be able to identify things that other people are going to go like, yeah, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, with my 17-year-olds, they're juniors in high school now. And, you know, they're doing what you said. You know, sports is draining me dry. I have no money because sports takes all my money. And food takes all my money. And McDonald's costs $30 to feed the two of them now. And, you know, I get up in the morning and I stumble over a pair of tennis shoes that are in the middle of the floor. And my first reaction is like, oh, and then I just stop and I go, I'm so glad they're here.
Yeah.
So glad they're here. I only have a year and a half left with them. And I know that someday I'm going to want to trip over those tennis shoes and they won't be here. You know, and I think as a Christian parent, that's all you can do is just try to model it. I think modeling is the most important thing because kids don't always listen the way you want, but they catch it by just watching you.
Yes.
And they're going to end up, you know, having those characteristics that they know what the key values in your home are, even if you don't always articulate it. They can tell.
Yeah.
And so they're likely, even if they make mistakes or even if something happens to what you went through.
Yeah.
Here you are now.
Yeah.
Yep. And you're in love with God and you have a godly husband. And
I grew up with a firm foundation of God, you know,
right.
Just my choices of walking away went, you know, when I did, just knowing that my children right now have a firm foundation in God. And, you know, I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. And they both know what Dennis went through. They both know what I went through. And all we can do is pray that they don't make those kind of choices that we both went through.
Yeah, and then support them if they do mess up. Because what parents sometimes forget is that our children are struggling with the same sin nature that we are.
Yeah.
They have their own sin to deal with.
They have their own choices to make.
Yeah. I don't want them to make those choices, though. I want to make it for them.
I know.
But that's where I have to just like, okay, Paul, just go away now. They're going to make those choices. All right. So it's allinministries.org.
Correct.
If someone's listening right now and they're going like, I think I have a problem and I need help, is this the place to come?
Yep. And my email is Patty, P-A-T-T-I, @allinministries.org. I believe also my telephone number is on the website.
Okay. Yeah.
If they wanted to reach out, have questions or anything.
Well, you're doing an amazing job, and I really appreciate you sharing your story. It's not easy to tell, I'm sure. What I see is someone who is walks with God and is a godly woman, and you're a redemptive story, and God is doing amazing stuff. So I really appreciate you being here.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah. You know, When you listen to Patty talk, you can hear the honesty in her voice, and she has gained that wisdom through some hard things. But God is always with you no matter what. In 2 Thessalonians 3:3, the Bible says, "But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one." And make no mistake about it, there is an enemy. Satan is at work. He is the force of evil in our world. The Bible says he is the God, small g, of this world, which means right now God has given him headship over our culture. God is still sovereign, but Satan runs the culture we see around us. And so there's no wonder that it's a messed up culture and our kids are struggling with some of the things that we've just talked about. But if this is true, but the Lord is faithful and he will establish you and guard you against the evil one, then you have nothing to fear. And you don't have to fear for your family. You don't have to fear for your kids. What you can do is just pray and try to be a good role model. And if you feel like you're falling short or you need help, then go talk to someone. Call a counselor. Go talk to your pastor. or call a friend and just say, listen, man, I'm really struggling with this, or get a hold of Patty and she'll help you. I think I just gave you a whole lot of business there. But I just want to encourage you that there's never a time when you're without hope, and you can be victorious because God is with you. I'm so glad you listened today to Life Support. It's wonderful to have you here. We have some amazing partners. Faithradio.com is where you can find other episodes of this podcast. KTIS has been wonderful, along with Faith Radio, giving us this platform. You can see a video version of this podcast as well at FiveStoneMedia.com. And there's also a tremendous amount of content there for your church. And you can check us out here at Ridgewood Church, too, at myrwc.org/life support. And thanks so much for listening today, and we'll catch you next time on Life Support.
Thanks for listening to this Life Support podcast. These conversations are available because of listener support. You can make a gift now at myfaithradio.com. To avoid missing future editions of Life Support, subscribe to the podcast today at iTunes or your podcast player. And thanks for sharing this audio link with a friend, and grow the impact of Life Support.